Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Ja'Kari Jackson. Here's what we have in store for you for this May 22nd, 2013 edition.
Tonight, federal police now list demonstrators alongside terrorists. And sources say that Adam Kokesh may remain in federal custody until well after the 4th of July. Then, the FBI kills an acquaintance of the deceased Boston bombing suspect. And the IRS pleads the fifth.
I see nothing. I know nothing.
That's up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
And welcome back. Top story headline. Four Americans killed since 2009 in U.S. drone strikes. Now, this is something that we've all been afraid of, at least I've been afraid of. Somebody dying than just more than the one person that they have admitted to, and now they seem to have three additional. So let's take a look. In conducting U.S. counterterrorism operations against al-Qaeda and its associated forces, the government has targeted and killed one American citizen, Anwar al-Awlaki, and is aware of the killings by U.S. drones of three others, Attorney General Eric Holder said in a letter to Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy. Now, this is a new and developing story, so the details of how and why are still a little sketchy, but we'll be giving you the most up-to-date information we can. So be sure to tune into the Alex Jones radio show tomorrow for more on this breaking story. We'll move on. Top IRS official takes the fifth. What it means. Now, this is an article from John Rappaport, and I can tell you what this means, and John can tell you what it means. I do encourage you to read his article, but I think it's best to hear from Ms. Lerner herself.
The Department of Justice launched an investigation into the matters described in the Inspector General's report. In addition, members of this committee have accused me of providing false information when I responded to questions about the IRS processing of applications for tax exemption. I have not done anything wrong. I have not broken any laws. I have not violated any IRS rules or regulations, and I have not provided false information to this or any other congressional committee. And while I would very much like to answer the committee's questions today, I've been advised by my counsel to assert my constitutional right not to testify or answer questions related to the subject matter of this hearing.
You have made an opening statement in which you made assertions of your innocence, assertions you did nothing wrong, assertions you broke no laws or rules. Additionally, you have authenticated earlier answers to the IG. At this point, I believe you have not asserted your rights, but in fact have effectively waived your rights. Would you please seek counsel for further guidance on this matter while we wait?
I will not answer any questions or testify about the subject matter of this committee's meeting.
Well, thank you for your very in-depth testimony, Ms. Lerner. And I do agree with one aspect of what she said. Just invoking your Fifth Amendment, the right not to incriminate yourself, does not mean that you're guilty. But there's a lot of people pointing fingers at her. And how people got to this, we're going to take a look at this clip from one Mr. Ben Swan. Now, Mr. Ben Swan does not get to the Ms. Lerner herself, but he does show you the hierarchy of the people involved and how they're involved in the IRS scandal.
Tax-exempt status comes into the IRS. Agents have 270 days to work through that application. If the application is not processed within those 270 days, it automatically triggers flags in the system. When that happens, individual agents are required to input a status update on that individual case once a month, every month. Because all six of our workers have different individual and territory managers, Cindy Thomas is the one manager they all have in common.
Now, I do encourage you to go and watch that for yourself in its entirety. That's a very small piece, but at the very least, I think Miss Cindy Thompson or Thomas has something to answer for, and that was Mr. Ben Swan, exclusive Cincinnati agent giving orders in IRS scandal, question mark. And to finish out this IRS block, we have a special report from Gigi Arnetta.
I'm Gigi Arnetta with an InfoWars Nightly News Alert. When I read the headline, "Don't throw the IRS under the bus," all I could think of was, are you serious? Who defends the IRS? the writers at the Daily Beast. They think the IRS isn't too powerful. It's too weak. In fact, they suggest that Obama just clear his plate of this scandal so he can move on to the next, because, of course, this one's all Bush's fault.
The Daily Beast quoted the New York Times saying the Cincinnati office was understaffed, unglamorous, and backwater. Its ill-trained, low-level staffers rarely discussed politics.
So was the office in Washington or California that targeted the Tea Party any more glamorous?
Here's a question. These ill-trained, low-level staffers that the Daily Beast claims work at the IRS, are they the same ones handling Obamacare?
Wow, you better hope none of them get your health care information when you have medical needs.
This article is a must-read as it clearly illuminates the thought process of the current administration and how it is not congruent with the Constitution, but more congruent with Nazi Germany.
Here's more from the Beast.
It might seem shrewd for Obama to sit out the IRS scandal while he focuses on bigger fights. But this scandal is about government's capacity to make private wealth serve the public interest.
And for a progressive president, there's no bigger fight than that. Stand up to the tyranny. Go to prisonplanet.tv, and you can give your username and password to up to 10 people. I'm Gigi Arnetta with an InfoWars Nightly News Alert.
And great report from Gigi. So watch all those things again and again, and that'll get you up to date on what's going on in the IRS scandal. We'll move on to different topics now. House bill would mandate guns with 007-style smart tech. John Tierney is pushing a bill that would require all U.S. handgun manufacturers to include personalization technology in their weapons. The Personalization Handgun Safety Act of 2013 would mandate that all newly manufactured handguns be personalized within 2 years. The bill would also require that existing weapons be retrofitted with the technology within 3 years before they could be sold. Now, this is one of the first things I ever reported on when I came down here to the InfoWar. You guys go back and watch my old Judge Dredd video. I was talking about how they want RFID technologies, biometric technologies, different things in your hand and in your body to identify you towards your weapon. And they say the 007-style technology, because if you guys saw the last movie, I believe it's called Skyfall, he had a pistol that he could only fire biometrics, and that's what they're moving towards. And if you say, hey, I have no problem with being the only person that can fire my gun, that's fine, but you do recognize that when you have this biometric technology, you can be the only person that uses your gun. So which is to say, when you die, your gun dies with you. You can't pass it on to your children. You can't give it to a friend. If that's the kind of technology you want, that's fine, but that's not what I want, so I don't want their RFID biometric gun. Now, let's move on to some international news. Syria rebels threaten to wipe out Shiite Alawite town. Just more hubbub from the Western-backed Syrian rebels. Communities inhabited by Shiite Muslims and President Assad's Alawite minority will be wiped off the map if the strategic city of Al-Qusar in central Syria falls to government troops, rebel forces said. Fighter planes and heavy artillery pounded the city today. The UK-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said in the email. It said two people were killed during clashes between rebels and government troops backed by Hezbollah fighters, bringing the death toll for the clash at Al-Qusar in the last 3 days to more than 90 people. 90 people dead. Now, this is the same regime that's backed by the U.S., and they rip out people's vital organs. We've shown you those videos, have little kids playing with explosives and AK-47s. We've shown you those videos, shoot people in the back of the head. We've shown you those videos, busting cinder blocks over people's head. We've shown you those videos. And this is the Syrian rebels that we fund. So definitely, if you do have the ear of President Barack Obama, tell him to say, we need to stop supporting these Syrian rebels. They also have a sexual jihad. A Syrian girl told you about that. Now let's move on to this. FBI kills Tamlyn Zarnoff acquaintance. Now, it's just me, or is it everybody who's acquainted with these two guys, these alleged bombers in Boston, is either dead or in jail? It's like a rap song, either dead or in jail. Okay, so let's see. Mr. Tocha said to be an acquaintance of the deceased Boston bombing suspect, Tamlyn Zarnoff, was killed by the FBI on Tuesday after agents interrogated him for his political views. The Chechen-born Muslim was shot by an agent after midnight at an apartment complex in Orlando. WESH Orlando reports he was shot after attacking an FBI agent. Tochev told his friend he felt he would be shot by the FBI. So what this was, the FBI came and questioned these two guys. The roommate, I guess, got away. He was able to leave. But the other guy, Tochev, who was an MMA fighter, allegedly attacked the FBI agent. Now reports are coming out that he may have had a knife. It's still real sketchy as to how this happened. But regardless, the FBI agent said he was attacked, suffered minor wounds, and fired back at Mr. Tochev, killing him. Now, like I said, everybody's either dead in jail. You got 19-year-old criminal masterminds and guys getting shot. And I'm not saying all these guys are, you know, pure as the Germans. No, but it's very odd to me. People getting tracheotomies and thrown into jail and getting shot and all kinds of other stuff. Just acquaintances of these two brothers. Let's move on now to landmark immigration bill heads to full Senate. The Senate Judiciary Committee approved the measure 13-5 Tuesday night, setting up an epic showdown on the Senate floor after Congress's Memorial Day recess. In a statement, Obama applauded the committee's action and said the bill was largely consistent with the principles of common sense. I hate when he says common sense. Reform I have proposed and meets the challenges of fixing our broken immigration system. The legislation would create new routes for people to come legally to the U.S. and work at all skill levels, tighten border security and workplace enforcement. It was Senator Leahy's 11th hour decision to hold back on an amendment to extend immigration rights to same-sex married couples that cleared the way for the bill's approval. Seems like homosexuality is always the make or break issue on these topics. And once again, you know, I'm not against people coming here to this country legally, but I always bring up the point that I can't go to Mexico and get a free medical procedure. I'm from Oklahoma. I can't come to Texas and get in-state tuition. I can't, you know, go get driver's licenses without taking photos and having my fingerprints taken. So I don't see why these people get special treatment. And once again, you know, if you want to come to this country legally, you want to join the military, you want to be naturalized, that's fine. But, you know, these other incentives and stuff that they're giving these people is just driving people here in mass with, you know, no real plan of what they're going to do when they get here. Cops being trained that cell phones could be guns. Now, this is a series of videos we're going to end the news portion with, and these just get more ridiculous as time goes on. So let's go ahead and watch this first one.
Put your phone down. Put it in your pocket.
No, I'll be fine.
I need to hold on to it.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do, sir.
No, you don't.
May I look into inspect it and make sure it's not a firearms?
It's recording, as you can see.
I need to see your phone.
No, it's fine.
I need to see your phone.
You're looking right at it. Are you not?
I'll ask you one more time.
So I don't know if she thought the guy was James Bond. He had some type of gun phone. She was alleging that he had. But that's just one of the most ridiculous things that we have. Let's move on to our next one. This is Miami Beach businesses off during Urban Beach Week.
This year, Miami Beach police are not taking any chances when it comes to keeping residents and visitors safe.
62 light posts, 12 visual messaging boards, and 3 watchtowers, not to mention the extra bikes and ATVs. Here's an exclusive first look at this $140,000 light tactical ATV on loan, very similar to the ones used in the military.
It's the only of its kind. There's no other vehicle like this on the market at this time.
So we need military-style vehicles to patrol the beach. And if you guys watch that clip in its entirety, you see that that one thing we were just looking at has night vision capabilities. I'm not sure why these people really need this. And I've never been to the city of Miami or to the beach. Maybe they do have a crime problem, but to have this police state take over of the beach, I guess, yearly just seems a little ridiculous to me. Now, we're going to go and finish with the most ridiculous of all. Yes, that's right. Awesome power. Just watch this video for yourself.
Please call the police. Put the camera away. Erase the pictures. Erase. You need to go. This isn't an excuse to have fights with a security officer. You're not allowed taking
pictures. We're the one taking pictures.
You got a phone on you? Because I left mine in the car.
I left it in the car.
You
want it?
You better get out of here now. Get your hand.
No, it's just kind of entertaining. But, you know.
You want to argue with me, too? You need to leave also.
Jeez.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. Oh. Oh.
Okay, and as that video goes on, you can see the security officer clearly losing that fight. If I'm wrong for laughing at that, I'm just wrong. I'm sorry. But, I mean, the lady, she was starting to fight. You even saw in the video, the guy was pointing his finger. The lady walks in front of his finger. Stop pointing your finger at me. He's like, you walked in front of me. And maybe those people shouldn't have been there. But you can see the security officer was obviously the aggressor. Started yelling, started cussing, pushed the lady, and then got beat up. So, you know, that's what happens. These people with all this awesome power, they take a 6-hour course and they can read your mind. And I guess she missed the fight portion of the training. Let's finish now with our quote of the day for the news segment. This from Ilya Kazan. To be a member of the Communist Party is to have a taste of the police state. It is a diluted taste, but it is bitter and unforgettable. Now, after this break, we'll be back with an interview Alex Jones did with the producers of Adam vs. the Man, giving you the latest updates on Adam Kokesh and his situation. And also after that, stay tuned for our third segment. I'll be interviewing the director and producer of The Voice of John. So stay tuned for both those segments.
Viewers have demanded it, so now you're gonna get it. More pro Second Amendment gun shows in the month of June.
What we've learned is you cannot hide behind an I-beam when there's a 50 cal present.
Brothers in Arms, 50 cal ammo review, and more. Coming in the month of June to the InfoWar.
The important thing about the Pro One filter today is that the material we use for removing fluoride and other heavy metals now will remove the latest form of fluoride called hydrofluorosilicic acid. There's no other fluoride reduction filter out there that will remove that type of fluoride. And it's extremely important because today we're hearing more and more cities are using that form of fluoride.
We've been having medication forced on us through the water system for quite a while. Most people don't realize it. Most people don't realize the negative effects of fluoride.
There's a wide range of health effects that are attributed to fluoride.
Bottom line, why should somebody get this new Pro One ProPure filter?
The reason to buy the Pro One, it's an all-in-one filter. It's convenient, easy to use. It doesn't require the add-on fluoride filter. And in addition, this filter removes the latest form of fluoride called hydrofluorosilicic acid.
Hello, this is Hank Hill, and I'm telling you what, you need to listen to Alex Jones.
Yeah, yeah. Infowars.com, yeah.
Judge, what is the secret of the universe?
Infowars.com, yeah.
And welcome back. Now, before we get to Alex and his interview with the producers of Adam vs. the Man, I just want to show you this article to set it up. So if we can go to that article now. You can see it right there. Federalized local police helped arrest Adam Kokesh. Now, let's take a look at what the article has to say. Since even before the events of 9/11, the globalist think tank known as the RAND Corporation has made its intent to federalize and militarize local and state police known. And for more on this, let's go to this interview with Alex.
And welcome back to InfoWars Nightly News. We've got breaking information this evening. Obviously, yesterday, the official criminal complaint came out, and now they're saying that Adam Kokesh may not be released tomorrow. And we have breaking news with the general manager of Adam versus the Man radio TV show and the podcast producer, Daryl Young, as well as, again, the general manager, Lucas Jewell. Of course, Adam announced a July 4th armed peaceful march, civil disobedience, to point out that there is a Second Amendment right to have loaded firearms in D.C. The Supreme Court ruled that in D.C. versus Heller back in 2008. I have said I don't think it's a good idea because it'll allow them to escalate some type of confrontation when we're actually already having major victories in the Second Amendment. But that said, I went further and stated, I still admire the courage of this type of civil disobedience. The police chief famously said a few weeks ago of D.C. that, well, we'll authorize civil disobedience of protesting, but not of loaded firearms. Protesting is not illegal even in D.C., though they don't allow it because they are a criminal group. This is just amazing what this country's turned into. Real civil disobedience is challenging a law overthrown close to 5 years ago. That's black people going in, for those that don't know, along with people like Charlton Heston and others, and saying, we're going to sit at the lunch counter and order lunch, even though no blacks allowed. Or we're going to sit at the front of the bus. There were laws against blacks sitting at the front of the bus. You had to sit at the back of the bus. So that's what civil disobedience is. They now mean it means being civil when you protest. This is how they destroy language. Now, that said, ladies and gentlemen, I told Adam a few weeks ago, I said, they're going to come after you on this. And I said, if anybody goes, I don't recommend you go armed. I recommend as people that are there, basically as neutral observers, to videotape everything so that the establishment can't run a false flag. Because you've never had a bigger awakening to the corrupt system than you're having right now. So it's very clear what I'm stating. The media has tried to spin it different ways. I understand under the law and common law, they have the right to do this. I respect the courage it takes to do it. I predicted this will not end well, for Adam at least, and his crew. Now, he has been held since Saturday there in Philadelphia, from the videos we've seen, for simply being there at a marijuana legalization rally. And in the complaint, they say the police began to approach him because he was doing the countdown for people to light up their, quote, marijuana cigarettes. And I'll show everybody a shot of the report. It's linked up in our articles at Infowars.com. And so all of that went on. And then they say that, well, when they tried to get into the circle of people with the microphone, that they had their arms linked and that that was basically a form of resistance. And so now, because of that, Adam Kokesh has been told he may be there for months, basically to keep him away from the July 4th armed rally, which is probably not going to stop no matter what the feds do now. And I'm really worried about this. I'm trying to, you know, sit here and not demonize what Adam and others are doing, because certainly they're the good guys, but the system are the bad guys and know how to spin this. And people undoubtedly will show up armed. This has been done around the country with great success, exercising the Second Amendment. But D.C. is Mordor, as they say, on the Potomac. And so Lucas Jewell and Daryl Young have got several things to report to you here in this update tonight. We're going to go to them right now via telephone because their internet has been turned off. It's been paid. It's been turned off now. They've had their internet turned off for their TV/radio show. I guess if they're going to be outside the federal courthouse with their, you know, video feed, got to turn that off. And at the same time, they have talked to the only person who's been able to talk now to Adam Kokesh, and that is his father. And Adam did tell his father, and they're going to break this down for you, that indeed he's preparing for the long haul, commissary, everything. You don't go to trial now in America. You go directly to federal prison. And they could, you know, come up to me if there's not witnesses, or who cares if there's witnesses, assault me, throw me on the ground, then charge me and disappear me directly into a federal prison. If America grovels and falls to its knees on this, they've won. We are now North Korea. Just like Europe, they're going to take all your bank accounts. That is the great goal, is bankrupt you politically to control you. So Lucas Jewell, Daryl Young, gentlemen, you've got the floor, joining us via telephone as they try to knock out your communications. Break down the facts of what we're facing here.
Charles, thank you for having us on today, brother. Yeah, thank you, Alex. We really appreciate all the coverage you've been giving us. We appreciate that you called for the army of cameras to be there for the open carry march. I know that your blanket of protection is well received. Well, as far as Adam goes, his dad has made contact with him. The only way he was able to make a phone call is our lawyer made a motion in court for him to actually be able to have a phone call, and the motion passed. Before that,
how many days did that take? How many days did that take? You're supposed to get it within 10 hours.
Well, he got it 4 days later. So I guess that's how it is in America. They federal agents will grab you for nothing more than speech crimes and lock you in a federal penitentiary. But his father has told us he's being held in the special housing unit, and it was something that he definitely and N.A. Poe definitely wanted to get out because of the broad publicity potential was the reason for them to be held in this special housing unit. But from the sounds of it, Adam is prepared for the long haul.
You know, I've read about these special units for, quote, media people and others so that you can't talk to other people. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Alex. I believe the way this is being made out to be is it's similar to solitary confinement. And since he has only one phone call after being there for now 5 days, I don't doubt that this is intentional to try to mess with him.
Wow. So solitary confinement. Amazing. And then had to go to court just to get a phone call. You know, I've seen cases like Dr. Sell. I've interviewed his lawyers over the years, who just simply was going to fight charges of Medicare, Medicaid fraud. So they grabbed him and drugged him for many years and threw him in a federal prison. No judge, no jury, no nothing. Until now, he's basically been out, but really has a lot of health problems. This went on for like a decade. These are very dangerous people. I mean, they carpet bomb, you know, whole villages full of children. And they hate Americans more than anybody. This is an occupation force, and that's what I kept trying to get. I guess Adam knew all this. I mean, did he have any idea when myself and others warned him of what they would do to him?
We weren't exactly planning on getting arrested for this march. We had held this similar protest four times before the smokedown prohibition. This was the fifth time. This is the first time we had arrest. So we weren't planning on being arrested. I do believe he was planning on being arrested for the 4th of July march, but he wasn't expecting to be arrested until then.
Now, I feel like they're trying to force a felony on him so he's not able to open carry in the state of Virginia, which will then make it worse for him to walk into the state, into the District of Criminals. I just feel like this is all a setup to try to prevent him from being out there active with the people.
Well, you know, there's a lot of cowards out there who criticize you guys and say you're agent provocateurs and things. I don't think that's the case. I recognize what you're doing is historical. It is a civil rights issue. It's the type of stuff that scares the system, because if the march does happen and then there's arrest or anything happens, it's going to come out. Well, like the Supreme Court said, you can have loaded rifles in D.C., so it would force that. So instead, they came to when he was on federal property. It was perfect. They were ready. They had local police with them. In fact, we have an article up on Infowars.com if we can punch this up. Federalized local police helped arrest Adam Kokesh. Police list demonstrators alongside terrorists. And they have special police now in every city with these weird red armbands assigned to the feds. And it's all part of a RAND Corporation program. We have links to all those documents and a RAND Corporation insider who blew the whistle as well. So it is very powerful article up on Infowars.com. And now we've got more and more stuff coming out about special prisons for political activists. All of this is going on. But specifically for the record, you guys, you know, break it down, because talk about what exactly his dad said. You told me, you said Adam thinks now he'll be held into July.
Right. Adam has asked that we crowdsource a WhiteHouse.gov petition to demand his release and the release of N.A. Poe. He's given us a lot of orders on how to keep the operation going. So we are going to keep Adam versus the Man alive and thriving as always. But Adam has told us to tell you know, everyone that he's doing mentally and physically okay, and thank everyone for their support.
Well, at least he didn't end up like one of the friends of one of the bomber patsies from the Boston bombing, who they went to question and then shot in the head today. I mean, this is really getting creepy. But word for word, though, his dad talked to him, the one phone call, and Adam has been basically told or believes he's going to be held for a long time.
Yeah, he feels like they're treating him unfairly, and they're going to hold him for as long as they can. Of course, at least until the rally, so he's not out there. They're just really scared. They're scared right now. They don't know what else to do other than to keep him detained.
We have lawyers working on the situation who are trying to get him out of the cage, but it's complicated when you're Adam Kokesh and you're organizing a march on D.C.
An armed march. When and the media's been spending it as you're planning to attack and shoot people. You guys have said rifles on your backs, loaded, to challenge the unconstitutional law that's been overturned. I mean, why do we trust cops with guns or anybody else? Why is it so evil to have citizens with guns? A real criminal would just drive across the bridge with guns, do whatever they wanted. I mean, it's the idea of people saying, we're not bad. Now, people that are scared of this, they're scared because they believe it'll give the system the opportunity to stage something and try to demonize gun owners. I mean, regardless, though, you can't demonize the people organizing the march. You can disagree with it. You can say you think it's bad tactics, people like Lou Rockwell have said. I mean, I think he's, had reasonable criticism. I myself have just tried to, I know you guys are going ahead with this. Are you still going ahead with this?
Yes, sir. With or without Adam, this march will go on.
Adam has delegated people to take charge of the 4th of July event. And, as Daryl said, with or without Adam, the march will go on. And Adam has spoken before that he doesn't like the term leader because he thinks that all of us as individuals are smart enough to collectively do these kind of ideas, and that's what we're going to do. The idea is still a good idea. It's still a safe idea. All the people who are worried about patsies or anything like that, think about the time that it takes for you to draw a weapon from your back to the ready position. Someone could easily tackle you, take you down. It's important to remember that this is a peaceful event.
Well, also, whenever they send in wound-up patsies, they do it with defenseless little kids, not with a bunch of guys with guns. Listen, my issue is this. We can't always let the fact that they're going to do dirty tricks shut down everything we do. I mean, my God, the police are now trying to say no one's allowed to protest Bilderberg in England. Well, then we'll try to go, and then... I plan to be peaceful just as media and cover this, but if they want to arrest me, that's fine. I mean, my God, in America we have free speech zones. In England, they're now setting up highway checkpoints. I mean, the criminals have taken over. They know they're imploding things, and they want to dominate us and get us to accept going back into slavery. But again, I've got to say that, to say there aren't leaders, we're all individuals and have rights, but people have a right to also... resonate with people who they believe are leaders. Ron Paul's a leader. Many other people are leaders who buck the system. So I think leaders are very important, but real leaders, grassroots leaders, do you guys understand my position on this? Because people say in talk radio, you've always got to have, never say when you've been wrong. Always, this is the old rule of talk radio. I don't follow it. Always say you know what you're talking about. Never correct yourself. And always be very, very clear. I am clear on all the, general things of society. It's just that Adam Kokesh announces this. Couple days go by. I'm watching to see what the media does. It gets picked up by Drudge. It was already in a bunch of newspapers. And so I come out and say, okay, Adam, well, I see your point, but I personally wouldn't do it. Here's why. But I understand it's your right as an American. It'd be kind of like somebody in the Deep South who'd be the first slave to try to run away. I'd say, well, your chances aren't very good, but I agree with what you're doing in spirit. It's just the letter of it. I just got a bad feeling. Do you guys see what I'm saying?
Well, Alex, if you believe that guns as inanimate objects are inherently dangerous, then, yeah, I would be afraid. But I believe that guns offer a source of protection, and I believe that is your natural right to choose how you best protect yourself.
Sure, but you're missing... This is important. I won't keep you much longer. We'll get you back on the radio in the next few days. I'm going to go back to Jakari Jackson, waiting in the other studio with InfoWars Nightly News tonight. I'm here in Studio A. He's over there in the big Studio B. But, you know, sitting here talking to you right now, I think you missed what I was just saying. I get a bunch of guys with rifles strapped to their back, openly carrying. I would feel safer there in, say, Austin, Texas, or in, Detroit, Michigan. I understand criminals are always going to have guns. They're going to go look for defenseless people. I get all that. People are saying this is a confrontation with Mordor. It's like the moment at the end of V for Vendetta when they all go past the troops and then the government falls. That happened with Ceausescu in Romania. That's happened with Mussolini. It's happened hundreds of times in world history where the police stand down when the peasants bring their pitchforks out. Okay, and, you know, storm Frankenstein's castle, to use a fiction example. They get as criminal, archetypal globalists that have occupied the city, that if they let one ant stand up, they might all stand up. Those little ants outnumber us 100-1. It's not about food, it's about power. In fact, we'll play that clip as we go back to Jakari in a moment. I'm saying to you, okay, what I've seen with COINTELPRO, I don't want to get up here and fear-monger to you guys. I just wanted Adam to know this isn't trying to dance at the Capitol and get arrested, showing there's no free speech in D.C. He's been to Fallujah. I'm not sitting there saying he doesn't know what's going on in this world. He was there when that was all going down. My only issue is these people will put bullets in folks' heads covertly, plant bombs on you, anything. They will do anything, anything. So I was just simply trying to say, because once the day starts, I think it could end up being a victory, a peaceful march with guns. If they try to arrest you then, it'll make a court case. They've already lost. That's why you're in danger before it. And that's why I tried to say, if it goes off, we need media there. But then I don't even want to send in citizen media because it's so dangerous, because they will then spin it and demonize our operation as well. And you're like, well, what have you done wrong? You're simply saying as media, you'll cover it. I get it. I've already got the police chief of the constabulary in North London trying to talk to me the last few days. I've been too busy to call him. I'm going to call him tomorrow. It's already night, very late. It's like, you know, midnight or later over there right now. You know, they're talking about not even allowing media around it. See, that will show we are in deep tyranny. So I admire the courage. I'm saying, as an old school hand of the world, that my gut says danger, Will Robinson. Now, go ahead. You heard my slavery analogy, and
yeah, I totally understand and respect how you feel. But if we don't stand up now, will we ever get that chance again? They're already taking people's guns, and if we don't stand up now for our Second Amendment, we would never have that amendment to protect ourselves. So that's why we're choosing to do this now and move forward with or without Adam, because time is almost near where we're not going to have that right to bear arms, because all the arms is going to be in the hands of the government.
Sure, sure. I mean, I know you want to be identified as a human being and a liberty lover, but Mr. Young, you're a black guy, and so I'm not using these analogies of slavery because you're here today. I use them all the time because it's the best analogies. I mean, this is like somebody trying to get off the plantation 20 years before the abolitionist movement was even big. That's all I'm saying is I'm not going to sit there and say, yeah, I'm egging you on, Mr. Young. You know, I'm egging you on, Mr. Kokesh, Mr. Jewel. I'm saying, okay, I admire what you're doing, but it's dangerous as hell.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, in this day and age, you know, that's the chance that we take. We know it's always a possibility that things might happen because this has happened before in the past, and not a conspiracy, because our government has done these things repeatedly over and over again, whether it's kidnapping or killing people. It's just what they do. And, you know, I said, if we don't stand up and take that role and do what we do, who will?
And, Alex, you mentioned the last scene from V for Vendetta. What a beautiful scene it would be if the people would march on Babylon with weapons ready to take our kingdom back.
But when you say take it back, so you see, Adam used provocative language of this is an armed revolt, but it's armed showing that we are armed. I mean, I get the play on words, but that could really be used in court against him, twisting. He used other...
Yeah, we were revolting against marijuana laws to smoke down prohibition. That was an armed revolt, and we are armed with marijuana devices. So, you know, revolt and armed, I guess they're two different words, but are being combined right there.
You know, there are very few issues that really tear me, because I get what you're saying. I get what you're doing. I just don't want to see you guys discredited or anybody hurt. And, you know, I mean, here's an example. Yesterday, callers kept saying, do you think the tornado could have been a weather weapon? Yeah, the tornado from two, and I said, well, there are weather weapon programs, and, you know, here it is in the Associated Press, and here's the UN treaty, but, you know, there are real tornadoes, so I don't know. They ran, no exaggeration, 10 articles I saw today. I mean, there's more than 10. I'm just saying 10. It was a bunch of them saying Alex Jones says a weather weapon did it. So, see, let's say you guys go. They got some sniper, shoots a bunch of people, blames it on you. They're going to say it was Alex Jones's march. I'm saying these people are dirty criminals. But my thing is, look at armed marches in from Phoenix to Dallas. You know, Malcolm X did it. You know, a lot of people are doing these armed marches. A right you don't use is lost. And why is it so bad that we have guns? I mean, who are we? How come government can have the guns, but we can't? Listen, I've been doing a lot of the talking here because you guys are nice and sit back. I want to give Lucas Jewell and Daryl Young, both of you, about 5 minutes each to make any other statements you want to make.
Alex, first, you know, thank you for having us. Thank you for all your support. And whether or not you're armed on the D.C. March, I hope to see you there. And along with all of our other supporters, people, if you cannot come with a gun, still bring a camera. That's probably more of a valuable weapon at this point than a gun because we have the numbers with guns. We want to make sure every single angle is filmed. No stone goes unturned. But as far as Back to Adam goes, be sure to check out the WhiteHouse.gov petition, which will be posted on the Facebook later. Also, more links to come in support of Adam as far as his commissary fund, as far as ways to write him, as far as everything like that. The podcast will continue. The march will continue. Adam says he's in good health, mentally and physically. And everyone just stay tuned because this might actually get pretty interesting.
Yeah, and if you happen to be in the Philadelphia area, 700 Arch Street will be the address to the federal courthouse. Please come out there and show your support. Come with signs. Come with cameras. Please do not attempt to go into the courtroom. We are trying to leave that room available for staff members only from the Panic Hour, Philly Norm, as well as the AVTM staff. If you need to reach us, Lucas at Adam vs. the Man will be Lucas' email address. Mine is Daryl at Adam vs. the Man. Adam vs. the Man is the website. As always, thank you for your time, brother.
All right, I got a few more questions since you guys didn't take that time before we go back to Jakari Jackson here on InfoWars Nightly News. What about the internet being cut off? Because I talked to you before we went on air. I mean, you're saying it, the bills are paid, they cut it off.
I've been having to use internet from my cell phone as a hotspot. We're in the process of getting internet up and running since they shut that server down, and we're just going to keep things going. They can't stop what we do.
Well, I have no doubt that it's the connection between Adam and everything that's going on with him and the internet being shut off. Supposedly, it's because of copyright stuff. But I have no doubt in my mind that.
Not as an excuse to shut our operation down.
Yeah, well, you're making waves, and they do not want people protesting. They do not want people pointing out they have rights. What do you make in closing? Have you seen federalized local police helped arrest Adam Kokesh at InfoWars.com story that we've been working on since yesterday? It went up today. Policeless demonstrators alongside terrorists. Everybody was asking, how are local Philadelphia police aiding the park rangers that then took him to the federal prison down the street to then disappear for, quote, you guys locking arms? I mean, man, what a corrupt country. Where the gods of government disappear you into a federal prison for locking arms. That's what the complaint says, the criminal complaint. And then we've confirmed that these red badges, these red armbands, I mean, they're like the federal lackey. The local police are now like the Renfield to Count Dracula, his little Igor servants. And this is really creepy.
Right, Alex. I saw the people with the armbands there. It was definitely odd. It did remind me of Hitler a little bit.
No, no, but those armbands, we've confirmed, that means they're part of a federal auxiliary, quote, anti-terror and anti-protest group. See, protesting is now terror. So, see, you're terrorist.
Wow. Also, something that may need to be put out, we may or may not have footage of this, but the prosecutor in Adams' case was at Smokedown Prohibition Part 5, which we believe compromises him as a prosecutor and makes him a witness. We believe it's a conflict of interest.
Whoa. You've proven this?
Oh, yes. We have him on maybe like 7 different videos.
We have a lot of videos.
Oh, my God. This is a federal prosecutor that knew you'd gone out there 4 other times or 3 other times. Correct me if I'm wrong. And so they were there. Well, they put up a cage all around it. Enter the cage now. And then, oh, my. So they were literally hunting you guys.
Correct. And we believe that is of no... there's no randomness that Adam was selected after they walked past, you know, a big black guy with a blunt in his mouth. They walked past him and grabbed the guy with the mic on his hand. You know, it's kind of suspect.
Listen, this is personally creeped me out that you see the videos where the cops beat somebody up for no reason and then always charge them even when it's on tape. This is how they lock us all up. You know, in Nazi Germany, they just grabbed you. Now they beat you up or tackle you and then charge you with assault. Nobody's safe. You've got all the persecution of government whistleblowers and even mainstream media people for no reason now. I mean, we had all better hang together or hang separate. This is outrageous.
Also, speaking of whistleblowers, there was a gentleman that was accused of planting something on Adam where he is not the whistleblower. He is not the troll. We actually have footage of Adam pointing out an undercover officer that was walking through the crowd and just happened to be buddy-buddy with the police officer. Like, there was a barrier on where only officers can stand, and this person wearing regular clothes was just walking through without a problem where our cameraman was pushed out the way. After reviewing all of our footage and analyzing it, we came to the assumption that this whole event was set up and it was plotted for them to be arrested because there was a podium that was not requested, where we even have footage of Adam saying, hey, this feels suspect. This might be a setup.
The government set up the podium
to point out who's the head of the event so they can know exactly who to target. This was a setup.
Try to lure out Adam and NAPO to separate themselves from the crowd.
Well, sure, to lure you into the cage, Daria. No. Listen, and I love how they always rough everybody up. They're just citizens like us. But they rough us up. It's not assault. I mean, all Adam did was have his arms rigid with his hands up. I've even seen them now. If you get in a fetal position, they'll stomp you in the head and charge you for their boot hitting your face. I'm not kidding, man. This country is. I just can't believe how bad it is.
Well, Alex, you know, you're doing a good job with the InfoWar, keeping everyone informed. That's what we're trying to do, to let everyone know about nonviolence and noncompliance and non-aggression. So we're keeping moving forward because this is a philosophical war, and we must win the philosophical war before we win.
Sure. Wouldn't you normally just be bonded out?
Yes, but they requested a detention hearing, which they can hold him for 72 additional hours until his detention hearing, and according to Adam and his lawyers, we are not expecting release, although it is a possibility, but we're not expecting it. It is a possibility, but it's probably not going to happen.
All right, AdamVersusTheMan.com and people that were criticizing you guys. It's one thing if people say, I think it's a bad idea or I'm concerned, reasonably, like Lou Rockwell did, but others that have been really nasty, you know, they're not the ones. Who have the courage to be doing this, and now the entire free press is under attack with all of this. And so it is absolutely, absolutely imperative that people support the First Amendment of this country, even if they don't support the exercise of the Second Amendment. Lucas Jewell, Daryl Young, thank you both for spending time with us today, gentlemen.
Thank you, brother.
All right.
Thank you for your time.
All right, Thank you, guys. All right, it for this important breaking interview here. And so I'm going to throw it back to Jakari Jackson and InfoWars Nightly News. please support the First Amendment. I mean, now the FBI goes to question people who we predicted are going to end up dead, and they shoot them during the questioning. This is getting really creepy. And if their chilling effect works, we're going to convert to pure tyranny. This is the whole thing we've been seeing. This is the criminal takeover. And you can palpably feel the energy level of evil rising. But you also, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. The energy level of liberty and freedom is rising as well. And that's why InfoWars Nightly News is so incredibly important. Before I go back to Zakari, we are 110% in this fight. And, you know, I wish a lot of times I didn't have to spend so much of my time grubbling around with sponsors and trying to raise money to fund this operation. And we've done incredible things. It's just, it's very important for all of you to go to InfoWarsStore.com. For the next week, we're going to run a 15% off on the ProPure water filtration, best stainless steel system out there. Side by side blows the competition away. It's what I use. And the money we make off that goes into this operation. It's not cheap, even though we operate from Texas that has a lot lower cost of living and you know, running an operation. The new book, The Octopus Deception, is now out in English. Daniel Estlin, that's available. Pro-Second Amendment shirts to keep or not to keep, why Christians should never give up their guns, great to give your pastor. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com, but we are only going to run this for about 6-7 days. Last time we did a 15% off on it, they all sold out because we already have the lowest price. With 15% off, it's incredible. Promo code WATER15 when you go to InfoWarsStore.com, WATER15. As the promo code WATER15 on the store, or when you call 24 hours a day, give them the promo code WATER15. That is 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139, WATER15. And we're a platform to then support everybody else and give them a voice. You know, we have other talk show hosts on. We have other people we don't even totally agree with on. We've had people that have attacked us and demonized us before. If they're doing good work, I have them on just because I don't even care about myself, folks. It's not about egos. It's not about all this stuff. It's about trying to really find the truth and trying to have a future and a civilization. And I know I say the feds are evil. At the top, they're evil. And they can always find mainly weird socialists and Marxists that they're kind of the foot soldiers of the global fascist who will go out and do anything they're told. There are a lot of libertarian, a lot of conservative people that I've run into in the FBI. The federal marshals, a lot of good state police around the country, local police. So I want to be clear. That there are a lot of good people in the government, but there were a lot of good German soldiers who just followed orders, man. And we got an evil government that's been taken over. And it's creepy as all get out to get up here every day and confront these people and then to get exhausted. But feel like I've got to do more because the time is so short. The enemy knows the time is short. So they work like the devil. And I wake up at 2 a.m., folks, trying to think how I can fight these people. So please spread the word about InfoWars.com. Please, if you have a PrisonPlanet.tv membership, one membership can be used by 11 people simultaneously. Now make sure you have a username and passcode you can share. Don't have a username and passcode you've created that's your other stuff, but create an original username passcode, and you can share it with up to 11 of your friends and family that can simultaneously watch. And so, again, that's prisonplanet.tv. Get a membership today. But again, you know, we've built an operation where I can have Zakari in there doing the news. I can come in here and do an interview. We can make films. We can reach conservatively 15 million people a week. That's a very conservative number. Most media, you know, if you're on a city of 1 million people, you go, I have 1 million listeners because 1 million could potentially listen. That's actual listeners, 15 million worldwide. It's more like 25 million a week now, but probably 10 million of them here in the U.S. We've got different numbers and things. The point is that we're having a real effect, and that's why they haven't come after us as bad as they have others is because we have gotten out in the sunshine. And I've gone through a lot of crap in the past. In fact, I've got letters right here. The general public is always saying to me, hey, Alex, you know, I don't get a yearly census. Well, you don't have a business. And I've got this right here. Let me find it with the actual cover letter. I'm going to do a whole piece on this tomorrow. I talked about some of this I talked about this some today. I'm trying to find the cover letter. I just had the cover letter to this where they're saying, you know, this is your last warning. You better answer our survey. And it goes on in here, the service annual survey. It's a service like the IRS. And it just goes into, hey, we've told you over and over again, you've got to answer all these hundreds of questions under penalty of perjury. Oh, yeah, here it is. Show people this. A message from the director of the U.S. Census Bureau. This is a yearly business census. I'd have to spend $100,000 to answer all these questions correctly. I mean, I'm looking at all these. I don't know how to answer these, you know, what's the licensing in this? Provide that. Provide this. How much money this and that? Blah, 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 blah. 2 months ago, we requested that you participate in a mandatory national survey. And then it goes into threatening me and how I'll be arrested and blah, blah, blah. And then, but the IRS head can declare the Fifth Amendment when she's known to have given the orders to go after people and persecute them. And then you've got, you know, this fictitious thing about, here's the example of how to fill out, you know, let's say if you made $1 million, here's how you'd fill it out. And then, you know, here's the actual questionnaires in here. And it's just hundreds of questions and incredibly complex. What's this exact number? What's that exact number? Don't answer it right. We're going to arrest you. This is not what a free country is like. Okay? And it's all a fraud. All right. That's it for this breakdown with Adam Kokesh. Very bone chilling for everybody. So please stand with us and make us even stronger because we're all in this together. Please support InfoWars and everything we do, and please pray for us. Back to Jakari Jackson and the conclusion of InfoWars and Nightly News.
Hey, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
It's kind of like Ferris Bueller watching the show. You know, a lot of times I end up coming back. We're going to Jakari in a moment, but I was just watching that clip. I'd forgotten I asked for it. That's the kind of speeches they have. That's the memos where they say, you will submit, you will do what the federal family orders, you will not whistleblow. This is a criminal group. All right, back to Jakari Jackson.
You see Adam's producers standing up for him, which is what people should do. Stand behind your guy. Like they said, not allowing Adam to have a phone call even, just completely ridiculous how they're treating him. So let's take a look at that article one last time. You can find it on InfoWars.com, and you guys can see the graph right there. But let's go down to the quote. And it says, Pittsburgh Bureau's police website describes the red team. Now, those are the people who had the red patches on their shoulders and arms, short for Rapid Emergency Deployment, as a highly skilled and highly trained specialized unit that can provide a quick and appropriate response to certain critical incidents. I don't know what kind of WMDs or terrorist events they were responding to or hazmat situations. It was a bunch of guys smoking weed. Even though Adam wasn't smoking weed, he still got arrested. So great job to you, Adam. Keep fighting the good fight. And I'll be back right after this with another interview.
Many anthropologists and archaeologists believe that before man even discovered the power to harness and use fire, we were involved in agrarian activities. That is, taking the seeds of plants and then replanting them to produce more. The very foundation of our modern civilization and human culture is centered around the planting and cultivation of edible plants, fruits, vegetables, nuts, you name it. And the globalists have been going after gardening. They've been harassing people that have gardens in their front yards or their backyards. They've called for licenses for people to have gardens because you can't trust prisoners in the police state America to be able to grow their own food. that's why I've come to the realization that we need to become self-sufficient. You need to be informed. You need to have the Second Amendment to protect yourself. You need to be politically active to wake up others. You need to filter your water. But you also need to plant a garden. Even if you live in an apartment, you can do this. If you live in the countryside, obviously you can do it on a grand scale. There are so many green belts in areas that humans don't even visit, nearby cities and in suburbs, where people are now more and more planting their own little private gardens and meadows and off the side of the road. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a revolutionary act to unplug from the television, to unplug from the computer and all the globalist propaganda, and to go out in your backyard or your front yard or planters at your apartment or on the roof of the building where you live, and to plant a garden.
Here are some of the amazing deals at InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsShop.com. The Survival Seed Vault by My Patriot Supply features only the finest survival heirloom seeds for a robust and hardy garden, even in the toughest of times. The ARC All-in-One Seed Kit contains 70 varieties of 50,000 seeds of fruits, vegetables, medicinal, and culinary herbs. All ARC seeds are heirloom. Each type is labeled and sealed separately for ease of use and longevity. The Deluxe Emergency Seed Bank combines three of Emergency Seed Bank's top sellers: the Family Survival Emergency Seed Bank, the Medicinal Herb Seeds Pack, and the Culinary Herb Seeds Pack. We also have starter varieties of the deluxe seed packages for fruit, salad, salsa, peppers, and medicinal herbs and more. Go to the InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsShop.com.
A little seed can grow a huge tree that produces fruit for up to 50 years. We have the best life bombs. That's what these are. We have the best weapons against death out there at the lowest prices, waiting for you to lovingly plant them and lovingly grow them and lovingly eat them and share them with others. We will strike back against the New World Order, and this is only one more initiative in our fight against them. So please join us at InfoWarsShop.com, or you can link through at InfoWars.com at the InfoWars Seed Center.
And welcome back. Our guests tonight are Chris Pfizer and Don Gallade, the producer and director of the film The Voice of John, a very powerful piece on abortion. They join us now to talk about their works. All right, thanks for joining us, gentlemen. Now, Don, I want to start with you. Tell us about your film and why this was important for you to make.
Okay. Well, I've been involved in the pro-life industry movement, if you will, probably for about 17 years. And for the most part, we just did a lot of political things, and we did a lot of things with running marches to Washington. One year when we were doing the march in Washington on the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, my colleague Chris Pfizer had come up with the idea that we should do a documentary. Initially, the documentary actually started off as it was going to be a documentary just on the march. God had other plans, and within about 6 to 9 months, the documentary has grown into what it is now, which is what we refer to as a forensic, womb-to-tomb pro-life piece.
Wow. And Chris, so I just heard that statement, the womb-to-tomb, so this isn't just a piece about abortion, correct?
Correct. Correct. It also covers euthanasia, it covers infanticide, it covers end-of-life issues, physician's assisted suicide, basically all life issues.
Great. Now, Chris, I'd like to get your take on that as well.
As far as what the film covers?
Yes.
I guess just for anyone to say the film is just about abortion isn't really a clear description of what the film's about. I guess it kind of shows how abortion in this nation is really connected to so many things that people might not think it affects them, but it's really connected to so many different things, the economy, just everything in this country.
That's a very interesting point. Can you elaborate on that, how it affects the economy?
We have an expert on there talking about how Social Security in particular is affected by the abortion rate in this country. Whereas if those people, and I mean people, were alive today, they would be working and paying into the Social Security system, and we wouldn't have the problem with Social Security we have today.
Right. We've actually aborted more people since 1973 than every military conflict that has ever taken place on United States soil. Wow. And that also includes, we could throw in cancer, AIDS, and other tragedies, more deaths from abortion are the sum total or more than all the other deaths. And just to elaborate real quickly on the economical piece, basically we've aborted the entire generation that's there, that should be there to pay into Social Security. So when people say to us, well, you're a one-issue voter, well, what about the economy? Well, if we wouldn't have aborted this entire generation, Social Security would be solvent.
That's a very good point, and you brought up some very interesting points, how we aborted a whole generation, as you put it. That's, you know, that, to put that in perspective for people, because they just think, you know, maybe, you know, it's something around the corner, something that the girl down the street did, but they don't really think about the sheer numbers of these children that we have lost.
Indeed. And, you know, the funny thing is, you know, people, you've heard the terms, you know, the back alley abortion. And I think things like Gosnell really put light on the things that it's really more women are dying from legal botched abortions that have ever died from the, quote, black back alley abortions. But, you know, what we're really witnessing, though, is this isn't about necessarily the abortion as much as it is. It's the country has turned its back on the Lord. So abortion is actually a effect of the outcome of a country that has turned its back on Jesus.
Exactly. Now, Chris, I wanted you to jump in here. Now, tell us about, you said it's not just about abortions. Tell us about the other things, the euthanasia and so forth.
I think in the film, one of the people describes euthanasia as abortion's evil twin. And that if we have a country that's totally fine with killing the unborn, what point are we going to get to when it becomes economically okay to kill people that are quote unquote useless to society?
Oh yeah, because that's the thing we see, because people say, well, these children, you know, they can't be cared for, they have disabilities, or same thing with elderly people and just people through all ages of life. You know, we don't need these people. They'd be better off if they were dead. Well, let me ask you guys, what do you think about that thought? They'd be better off if they were dead. We don't want these kids that have these disabilities in financial situations to have to suffer.
Well, if we drove down into a section of town where there was a row of houses where there was, say, 10 people that had disabilities, would it be okay to walk in their front door and kill them? So just because the children are already born, it doesn't make it any different. You know, some of the people use this term, the useless eater. You know, when you watch the film, Voice of John, you'll see the lives of people. You'll see a family that has a child with a disability. And as they say, it's not my disabled daughter, it's my daughter with a disability. And these particular family, when you see the stories and you see the look in their eyes and just the intense, there's no way you can not just fall in love with these people. And then we see another story about a woman that was actually raped and decided to have the baby, even though she almost died having it. So now you have rape and death and life of the mother rolled into one instance. And then we have another woman that actually owned an abortion clinic in Texas, and she bears all. She tells her sins. She confesses to everything that was done. And this is pre-Gosnell. So when you see these stories, these are real life people with real issues with that really touch all of these stereotypes that we have. And what we found with this film was it's not just a finger wagging expose, as I often use the term, that it's really meant to be an educational piece. It's meant to be a piece that will show people that through the love of Jesus Christ, we all, there's nothing we could do that could separate us from Christ as long as we know who we are with him. And that's really the ultimate goal. Unlike some of the other films that I've done, we're not saying that, you know, ours is the greatest because there's, you know, there's others that have done this topic. Mm-hmm. But ours continually points to Christ.
Now, you say this is an educational tool. Is there an age range that you think is appropriate to watch this material?
Well, yeah, that's a great question, and I think that the question has to be individualized with each family. For example, my children have been going to the pro-life march with me since they were each 5, and I have 3 children. And I think there's things that they've seen in them at the march that are more shocking than we have in this film. So there's no graphic abortion, as many graphic abortion pictures. There's 1 or 2 scenes that are, you know, that are disturbing. We actually draw some similarities to the Holocaust, and quite frankly, I think the Holocaust pictures are more disturbing than any of the abortion pictures that are in there. But as long as the parent has a very, very educated conversation with the child and explains what this is and why it has to end and how we have to end it, then I think it becomes the education piece. Because what happens is a lot of people think, I don't want my kid to see this. It's shocking. Well, guess what? You'll find a woman in this film that owned the abortion clinic. Mm-hmm. They were doing sex education, teaching kids about intercourse in third grade.
Oh, so, yeah. Teaching them to masturbate and all kinds of stuff.
Indeed. So, like, do you want people like us to talk to your children? Or do you want people like that to talk to your children? And quite frankly, I think part of the reason we see the statistics with the abortion is because we bury our heads in the sand as Christians, and we say, where is the church in all of this? You know, sure, the church comes out and says we're against abortion, but what are they truly doing? What are they truly doing? In many, many instances, there's women sitting in these pews on a Sunday morning that have had abortions that are incredibly destroyed inside. Nobody's reaching out to these women to tell them that there are resources, that there are groups, that they're not alone, and that Jesus still loves them no matter what they did in their life. Jesus still loves them. And that's what this piece is about. And we try, you know, at this point we have it on the website for free and just hopes just to get people to view it, because our goal is to have every church in the country show this film, either in women's groups or in youth groups, because we really believe the message is not just typical pro-life, abortion is bad, we need to get rid of it. It's true life stories that affect people every day.
Now, Don, we'll circle back to that point, but Chris, I want to talk to you about the production of the piece. How long did it take you to film the piece? Where did you film the piece, and how did you find the people who participated?
Well, it's really kind of funny, because we started this project, I guess, over 2 years ago, and the bulk of it was done last summer, and it just kind of snowballed. One person would lead us to another person, or one situation would lead us to another, and we just ended up with literally a ton of footage. I think we had over 86 hours
wow.
of footage and no script.
Yeah, that no could be script. Taxing.
So we kind of just went through everything, and the parallel I use, it was like being given a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle with no picture on the box of what it was supposed to look like. And I can honestly say God made it all happen. It flowed together. Just, it was really simple the way everything just kind of went together the way it should have.
Yeah, you just kind of guided on what should be in the film. Now, I want to ask you guys, this is obviously a religious piece, something for people of faith. Are you concerned that people who don't have a religious background or a spiritual background will be turned off by the content?
Well, you know, we attempted to cover both sides of this, and actually our goal was to have folks from the pro-abortion side have their say in this film. We've contacted now several times. They didn't return our phone calls. We've contacted a Planned Parenthood. They didn't return our phone calls.
Not surprised.
Yeah, indeed. And we have interviews, as Chris mentioned, about this multitude of film that's on the floor, if you will. We have interviews of some pro-abortion folks. Unfortunately, many of it just can't be used, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
If there were people that could approach their side of the story with an articulate and non-vulgar manner.
Yeah, with some class.
Indeed. And I'm not trying to say blanketly that every person who is pro-choice is that way. I am
right.
not saying that. I'm saying the people that we encountered their interviews were unusable. So our goal was to include them so that it didn't seem like it was an unbiased piece, that we can indeed spotlight their views and have their topics spoken for on their
right.
side of the coin, so to speak. But it just didn't happen. Now, as far as a religious piece, you know, when we go to the pro-life events, we see groups like Atheists for Life. So even groups that don't believe in God believe in the sanctity of life. And you know, what the goal of this piece, besides the pro-life message, is also the pro-Jesus message. So it is ultimately a salvation tool, if you will, that a church can use to help save the lost.
Now, Don, I'm sorry. No, I'll just say I'm going to ask you this question, and then we'll get your closing comments, both you and Chris. Now, Don, it's my understanding that you applied for a tax-exempt status. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And recently we've seen all the things going on in the news with the IRS and the targeting of conservative groups. So tell us your story, and do you think you were targeted for any particular reason?
I personally do. We filed in November. The normal protocol we were told is it takes 90 days for you to hear anything, and I understood that. The first time I called, I was told, I want to get this quote right, I was told, there is something needed for your file. I cannot tell you what that is. And the case has to be assigned to somebody before we can discuss it with you. And as of yet, it has not been assigned.
Now, was this a phone call? Was this an email? How did you get this contact?
I was contacting the IRS via the phone. So I called three other times, subsequently spoke to three different people, got the exact same verbiage word for word. And still, until the scandal broke, I didn't even think about it. And ironically, even after the scandal broke, I didn't even think about it. Till I was actually going through our website and realizing that, you know, that just making sure that there was things on there that were where we want them to be. And I noticed when it comes to the mission statement and the Voice of John, so it's maybe not necessarily things that are on our 501c paperwork, but we're talking about on our mission statement on our website, it's talking about a non-sectarian, non-partisan, Christian faith-based organization. We believe the Bible is the inherent, verbal, inspired word of God, indeed needed to save the souls. And then we go on and quote different scriptures, and we talk about the family, and we talk about parental rights, and it's basically all about the Christian message of what we were about. So I do believe it's this. That was the end of stumbling block, not the actual 501c paperwork that just says we're a nonprofit organization that produces Christian films.
Right.
But that indeed is on the 501c paperwork as well.
Yeah, we've seen the IRS. What are the content of your prayers? I don't know if you saw that story a little bit recently. Now, Chris, I want to get your closing thoughts, and then we'll finish with Don. Any closing thoughts, Chris?
I think basically with this project and upcoming projects we have, we see the underlying theme that as this country moves from a Christian nation to a post-Christian nation where we seem to be headed. So referring back to when you said, is it a religious film? I wouldn't say quote unquote religious, but you know, we are stating, you know, our Christian faith, and we firmly believe that as our country turns away from that, it's just obvious where we're headed.
All right. Now, Don, can you tell us where you can get the film and also your closing thoughts?
Sure. Well, first, just real briefly, we didn't talk about how the film got its name. A woman who's one of our best friends, her name's Marianne Lahan, who was also the executive producer of this film. In 1977, she stumbled across a botched abortion in a Virginia hospital. And when she told the doctors that she found an abortion, a baby, they said, no, it's an abortion. No, it's a baby. She said, no, it's an abortion. So she held that child until the child died.
You're talking about outside of the womb.
Outside of the womb, it was left on a dirty utility table in a closet, waiting to die.
Five minutes of the film.
Pardon?
That story's in the first 5 minutes of the film. It's the prelude to the whole film.
That's where the voice of John comes from, is because Marianne says, I will name you John, and I will be your voice, and I will tell the world what I saw here today. Ironically enough, this is the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, and for those that know their Bible, 40 is a big number with God. It's a number of completion. People can get this film at voiceofjohn.org. It is currently for the next 30 days. It's going to be free online. All you got to do is click on it and watch it. We encourage everyone to spread that link. Send that link to everyone you know. Let every person be able to see this film. Especially go to your pastors, go to your priests, go to your rabbis. Have them play this film in the church. Have a showing. Everything is on our website on what you need to do to have an effective showing. And we would just be blessed by having the message of John, who let his death not be in vain, because the purpose of this film is to educate. And that's what we're about with Riversong Productions.
All right, Don Gallade and Chris Fizer, thank you for your time, gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
All right, so there you go, two great filmmakers, and that's what we're about, promoting people and their great films. Now, that was not Operation Paul Revere entry, but two great filmmakers nonetheless, and they have a very powerful message. I know some of the things in the film may not be for everybody. Like they said, it does have a religious undertone, but as Chris said, it's not a religious movie. Don says, yes, you can play it in your church houses and so forth, but I believe also people who aren't religious or spiritual can watch it and get something out of it as well. And if you'd like to learn more about eugenics and abortion and so forth, you can get the Eugenics Exposed Pack at the InfoWars store. You can see it right there. For $29.90, you get Endgame and also Mafia 21, Mafia is about the Planned Parenthood history. A very powerful piece to give to your friends and family. And also, if you'd like to support this broadcast, you can go to prisonplanet.tv, get yourself a 15-day free trial. There's a lot of great stuff on there. The Alex Jones radio show, the nightly news show, the special reports, the movies, the rants, all that good stuff is there just waiting for you. So that's it for this edition of the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. We'll see you tomorrow.